How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Yo, what's poppin'? You know what time it is. Your boy, Mr. J Hill. J Hill Podcast. We are in the building. Legendary guest is sitting next to me, man, to my left. Mr. Life Jennings is here, man. How you doing, brother?
All is well, young. Appreciate you having me.
Man, I appreciate you for pulling up, man. This means a lot to me. First and foremost, I want to say congratulations. We celebrating 20 years. Life 268-182, right? First project?
First project, yeah.
First project. Sheesh, there's a lot to go into that, man. How do you feel 20 years later, though, before we even go into all that?
Feel old, man. I feel like, you know, I feel blessed, man, because it's a lot of cats that don't make it past 2 years, let alone 20, man. So it's a good thing.
20 years, like, what's some of the reflecting moments that you have in now that you, when you think of like 20 years in the game, this was your first project. This came after a time where you did some time in prison. This came after some times where, like, I mean, we all remember, I don't know if we all remember, but like the Apollo thing, you going up there, you singing, you know what I'm saying? Like, just even in that in itself, like when we talk about going, like overcoming adversity, I think they booed at first, right?
They booed on Apollo.
Talk about not judging a book by its cover. They booed at first before you could even sing.
Right.
They go from boos to standing ovation. And if you think about it, that's like the life of Life Jennings almost.
It's like my whole life, man. They booed me in the beginning of my life. They might have booed me when I came out the womb. You know what I'm saying? But now we popping, man. But when I think, honestly, when I think back, I don't necessarily think in terms of specific experiences that I had. You know, I got kids now, and I didn't then. So, when I think back to that time, just the whole feel of that time, it's just like, wow, I just really wish my kids, which is your age probably, that y'all had an opportunity to live in that time instead of this stressful time y'all living in now. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't know, but brother, can you imagine that you living in the time today to where you can go to house parties, you ain't worried about no cats having no guns or nothing like that. Living in the time to where cats will open the fire hydrant and everybody come out and line the whole middle of the street up with barbecue grills and stuff and kids. Imagine the time when you ain't got no cell phones, when nobody texted nobody. We didn't even have call waiting. If you called, the line was busy, you had to wait for that girl to call you, and it was just made it so much more special and important, man.
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you for the compliment, but I was in those times.
You was in those times.
Yeah, like fire hydrants, we had to take the thing off ourselves. We ain't had no cell phone. I mean, I'm 33. I'm still young, but I was in those times. I was in some of them times.
Some of them. You caught the end of them.
Yeah, I did. Only reason I say I don't know is because, bro, you're one of the fortunate ones. It's funny because me and my producer was just talking about this, and we ain't going to it just yet, but we were talking about like just the difference in those times and now. Like now times, like more people are more woke. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things are more sensitive. You can't do... It's so many things you can't get away with today.
If you fly a bitch out, that's sex trick.
There we go. Like he just said, it's
back
crazy.
In the day, you used to better fly 4-5 at a time.
Like, and it's crazy how the world works. It's just insane, bro. This is crazy. We literally, I was like, I don't know how I want to talk about this because I wanted to talk about the difference of the times. God is crazy. So, right. So it's like, I say I don't know because a lot of people ain't being as fortunate as everybody else. One, we ain't even gonna say fortunate. We're not even gonna give people the benefit of the doubt. A lot of people wasn't as responsible with themselves in those times, and it's catching up with them now. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I feel like now, it's sensitive, but it's safer. So, like, a lot of things you shouldn't be getting into because, like, you can't kind of.
I think it was just freer. You know, you gotta at some point have things to compare it to. And I would never compare anybody's grief or trauma to anybody else's grief or trauma. But just as a timeline, if you look back to the 70s, it was just so much. it was a freer time. Like, you could be outside smoking weed, and sex was prevalent with whoever and whenever, outside, inside, or whatever. And then when you fast forward, even, you know, even now where weed is legal, and just a little while ago it wasn't legal. So you look at those different things, and in comparison, something just even 10 years ago might have been a normal thing to do, and now you can literally go to jail for the rest of your life for it.
That's true. But I just only, and I'm telling this only because, like, just because it was normal don't mean it needed to be normal.
I mean, that goes for perspective. I'm not one that, you know, I don't believe in a right or wrong, a true or false. I believe in perspective. You know what I'm saying? Like, over here, you can only have one life, and that's one wife, and that's the norm. But if you go to Africa, then you can have as many as you can take care of. So I try not to, you know, put labels on stuff, man. I just try to look at what's the reasoning for me implementing these certain, I guess, these certain rituals in my life personally. You know?
Do you think it's a line where you can live in two different lives almost, like this, like a duality, right? Like, you can, I don't know, you might not participate in certain things, but you can understand it, right? If that makes sense.
Yeah. Like, I ain't fucking no boys, right? But
of course,
I can understand. I can understand that somebody might just be looking for love and find love in somewhere, anywhere that they never even expected to find it. And that's why I say I'm not judgmental at all, man. I just really believe what I do believe in is what some people call karma. It's kind of like a blanket definition of it. But I believe the reason why that I don't do some of the things that would be termed as evil is because, not that it's wrong or anything, I just believe that when you open that door go both ways. If you try to do something bad to somebody, you may not classify it as wrong, but please understand, because you opened that door, that same thing can come back through that door on you. So I choose not to open them doors, man.
But I think that's what's wrong about it, though, in my perspective. Like, if you decide to do something that you wouldn't like done to you, that should be absolutely wrong.
Should be. I can understand that. But at the same time, you know, sometimes you feel like you have the right to do something, and then somebody doesn't have a right to do it to you because of how you were raised, such as the double standard between men and women. You dig?
Yeah. I get it. And I like this. Hold up. We ain't about to leave this yet. I think that's what's wrong with the internet, though. Be straight up with you.
That's what's wrong with the internet.
Yeah, I feel like the internet has made it so, and I tried to have this conversation with multiple people, but people don't be trying to get into it. I don't know, like, people trying to protect their images. I don't know. I'm just a man. I'm a man at the end of the day. I feel like the internet, as great as it can be, as much of a tool it can be to have so many resources, give us a voice, but it also gave people that don't need a voice. Like, you can find somebody, just like you could find an argument of something that's right, you could find the same argument as something that's wrong. And I mean, like, bad. Like, think about it. There's people out there who are talking about, it's all type of crazy stuff out there that's being talked about on the internet that shouldn't be on the internet. And I feel like that shouldn't, like, I don't know, you shouldn't have the access to do that either, though.
Well, I mean, if you voted for a democracy, then you kind of just got to deal with whatever that democracy bring. I used to be like you. Like, I used to be a cat that used to be like, you know, oh, well, people shouldn't do this or people shouldn't do that. But now, as I'm getting older, and I'm quite sure, you know, if you blessed to get my age, then you'll start looking more at stuff like, these people are just people.
Facts.
Nobody is better than anybody, man. You know, it's saying heaven is many mansions, meaning it's many states, right? And these states are forever. But you going in and out of these states is temporary. So all of these people that's at certain stages in their life, robbers, killers, priests, these are all just states, man. And neither one is better than the other one. It's just they occupy a different state. At the moment. Yeah.
That's real. And I think they talk about that in the Bible even. Like, never look at somebody else's wrongdoing. I don't know the exact verse, but because you got your own.
You understand more as you get older, only because you just have more experiences. And then when you do dumbass shit and you look back, you like, damn, man, I did do this too, and I don't want nobody judging me for it, you know?
Oh, boy, when I tell you, like, thank you, like, you take doing an interview for me, I was going to ask you, do you think you feel that way because a lot of that experience came through you? Like, you were somebody who had, I don't want to say lived multiple different lives, but, like, we saw in the music, you made, like, conscious music, but you also was, like, a everyday person. You made mistakes as well, just like anybody else. Mm. And it seems like throughout your career, people try to hold you to the mistakes that you made or the decisions that you made and try to like put you into this box. And it seems like you were always trying to escape this box. Like, I'm not just this dude. We don't always have to talk about when I got arrested. We don't always have to talk about baby. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, but it seems like every single time, even when new things came out, if it was some music, a video, it was like they always try to talk about that and put you in that box. Do you feel like that's why you're so open to just people making their mistakes and just living their life?
Definitely. I mean, you know, when you are a victim of something, then you definitely have more empathy, which is different than sympathy. You have more empathy for other victims who didn't share the same thing, you know? And I think it's just safe to say, just in general, man, we all out here human, you know, and one thing that I tell my kids, and I just live by it myself, is that never let a person bring the old you to the new house. Because believe me, it's behind them. They got the old you with them. They come in the house and they get, remember that one time, man, when you did? No, I don't remember that. That was a whole nother life. That ain't even my life now, man. That's the old me. This is the new me. Respect me. Let me be me.
Yeah, I don't know how you feel about this. I'm going to ask you. I hate like back in the comments, right? Like, because I've had a past in myself. And like people always come to me like, yo, I'm so proud of you, bro. You came so far. And I'm like, or like, you're so different now. I'm like, bro, I always was the same, bro. I just made a couple mistakes. If you remove the mistakes, I'm still the same person. Like, don't try to hold me to that. How do you feel? Do you get people saying, like, I'm so proud? Like I'm like, you changed so much. And it's like, bro, come on, my mistakes don't define me. So I ain't really changed. I just made some mistakes.
Yeah. I try not to let anything anybody say influence me, good or bad. Mm. You know, not even the good stuff. You know, you'll get praises and then people will say negative things. So I try not to be moved either way, man. Because one of the most consistent things that you can do in your life is stay consistent. Mm. You know, if you say something good, thank you. If you say something bad, thank you. Because they both should be used for me to stay consistently growing.
Mm. So what about, like we talk about, what you were talking about, how like never let somebody bring up the past or whatever. Mm. But I feel like a part of our past is to show people like how far we came and to motivate people, to show people that they can as well. And I feel like I feel like your story is a superpower. And when you don't share your story, when you don't share your story, I feel like that's one of the most selfish things a person can do. Because now it's somebody else who's been through the same thing you've been through, who probably will continue to go through that just because they didn't hear your story and that could have changed their life.
That's very smart. That's very smart what you said right there, because I kind of live by that too. I think that you experience certain things, but the things that you experience as an individual make you valuable to somebody that's experiencing those same things. And if you don't share it from that point of view, then not only is you cheating yourself from growing, but you cheating that person who could have got some growth from your experience. You know what I'm saying? You would let them make the same mistakes you made when you could just, look, this is what happened. This is what didn't work. Do what you will with it, you know?
How do you, like, I guess, navigate that when you're going through, like, these press runs? Because I've seen, a lot of interviews. And one thing that stood out to me, one is, and this is how crazy this is, that, like, you remind me of Erykah Badu a little bit. Of like with the interviews, and it was like, I think she said, we artists, we sensitive about our shit. Ain't that what she said?
Yeah,
but isn't that. Wasn't that, that was like reason. One of your motivations to start music, the Baduism?
Yeah.
When you was
yeah,
in jail yeah. or some shit like that?
Yeah, that's my partner. Shout out to Erykah, cool lady behind the music, bro. That lady, you know, internally, that's good people right there.
Mm.
You
know? Now that's crazy that stood out to me, but one, that like, you're definitely sensitive about the music that you make, the art that you put out. Mm-hmm. But also, it was another, and that stood out to me is like when, I guess every time something that seemed negative came up, it was like, man, I'm not that. And almost like, not just a journalist, but as a man, somebody that looked up to you, is like, I almost wish you would have embraced it more. Like, yeah, like, that was a mistake. And yeah, like these are, and went into it more like, yo, this is what I was thinking about it. And I had to learn through that. It was like, almost like you were fighting that, that I don't want to talk about that and like keep that over there. Do you feel that?
Yeah, I don't think it was many things said that I was just like, yo, I just don't want to talk about it. My problem just always came, that's all we have to talk about. Mm. You know, a lot of these shows, you know, out here, man, whether they radio shows or TV shows, it's like they looking for what they call
clickbait.
What clickbait. Y'all call it?
Huh? Clickbait.
Yeah, clickbait. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like they look for clickbait. I don't want to be a part of that. You know what I'm saying? If I'm here, I would assume that your platform is useful to some, because I don't do platforms that's not useful. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, and if it is useful, then I want to be able to talk about something useful, not just the same goddamn thing over and over again. You know, I've been to prison. You know, I got, you know, some street shit that went on. Like, we don't got to keep revisiting that. You know?
Nah, I understand that. I feel like, as crazy as it is, you know, it just, some parts of it could be useful. Again, we talk about the story. Mm-hmm. To certain people, depending on how it's being talked about. If that makes sense, right? So, like, I don't even know what exactly, but I'm just saying, like, in general, when I looked at it, like, every time, for example, they were talking about the, I think one of the songs you made, Slave or something like that, you know, one...
yeah, Slave.
Yeah, one conversation, it was like, it was just, like, you kind of brushed it off, like, bro, like, it wasn't meant like that, but then I think years later, I think I seen you say how that probably was a mistake.
Yeah, I did say that.
Yeah, so I was like, you could see the difference in the Life Jennings in the beginning and then, like, as you got older, making your music. And, like, just embracing it, like, yo, like, nah, man, like, that probably was a decision that I should have made.
Good. So hopefully that's growth.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Do you wish that would have came a little earlier, though?
No, I don't regret anything. Anything that I've ever done, I don't have regrets, because if I change one thing, then I wouldn't be in this moment right here. I think things develop as they supposed to. I manifested these things and the universe took care of the rest. So I don't worry about the middle. You know, I know the end is on the way.
Mm. No, that's a fact. They say life is like, I mean, I guess you got your birth certificate and then your eulogy and everything in the middle is life.
Man, and I was just talking about that in the car on the way over here. Like, everybody's so in a rush to get to the end, but in the end, it's only one win. When you get to the end, that's the last win. Along the way, bro, it's so many wins that you can feel good about and experiences. The end is just, all right, it's over with.
But how do you, wait. How do you find those wins when, like, I don't know it just reminds me of like a meme, an internet meme. And I know you probably don't care for this, but it's a meme or video where it's this man in a suit and it's like a chain with some money in front of him, dangling in front of him, and he's chasing it. But he's chasing it for so long that his suit comes off, his skin comes off, his flesh comes off, and then to his skeleton, and then he falls into his like his, where he lay to rest at?
Grave?
Like, yeah, till he falls into his grave. So it was a reflection of life, like how all we do is chase money, goals, until we die, right? And it's like, but it seems like life is set up for us to only do that. We got so many bills. We got things to take care of as men, especially. And it's like you said, embrace the wins. Like, how do you focus on the wins or the small wins? Or what is considered a small win to you when there's so many things that you're dealing with in life?
Another good question. And it's again, like, this conversation was meant to happen right here because, you know, I listen to lectures nonstop and I read nonstop. And one of the lectures I've been repeating for about the last week is it says that you should get away from chasing. Mm. And just be more into attracting. And what that means is that, you know, things are attracted to you by how you feel about yourself. If, for instance, if you chasing this chick, the more that you chase her, the more she gonna run away. But as soon as whatever you chasing her for, you give to yourself and you not chasing her no more, then she gonna be attracted to you. Mm. You see what I'm saying? So again, like when we talk about chasing after money your whole life. Most people who chase money, you notice they never get money.
Mm.
You know, most people that chase after, even a music career, when they chasing so hard, the harder that you try to get there, the more it is as you likely will never, ever see it, you know? And that's why that purpose is so important. Like me, when I used to manifest, I wasn't thinking about, I got to work hard, I got to do this stuff. I was just manifesting a group of people being touched by what I had to say, right? That was my manifestation. And because I wanted other people to be touched by what I had to say, that means I had to be touched by what I had to say. So everything that I wrote, I meticulously write. Like I go 1,000 checkpoints to make sure that, like, I got to get goosebumps when I'm writing. Like, oh shit, like that's it. Now, I don't really got to chase you to, I don't mean talk so much either.
Bro, it's an interview, it's an interview. Right. What?
So I don't got to chase you to get you to feel some kind of way because I've already felt it. And now you're going to be attracted to what I have to say because I feel it. You know, you ever see DJ Khaled and them and all them, Timberland and them cats, when they doing beats in the studio, they be lit. They be so hype on their own shit. You can't help but to feel it because they already took care of the hard part. They felt it for you. Mm. You dig?
Yo, hold up. Nah. You 20 years in the game. Mm-hmm. And you came in the game an adult. Right? You was like what?
What, 25?
Yeah, you was an adult. Well, 25. Yeah. So I say that to say to paint a picture. You come on here, you say, man, I'm not moved by like the praise or the
negative.
Right. And I get that, but that come with growth. I want to go back to the life Jennings that you know what I'm saying? Like,
do we got to?
I want people to see, like, because it's somebody out there who's going through that now. And it's easy for us to say, man, I'm not attracted to the, I don't get too high off the praise. I don't get too low off the negatives. Okay, cool. Well, how, Mr. Life Jennings, did you get there? So I'm asking you, like, when, even if you can go back to those moments when, like you said, you getting goosebumps writing songs, but you still have your everyday life. And you still a human, you still a man, who a flawed individual, right? That because we all are.
Still flawed, right.
When you go through those things, did it make it hard? Did you yourself ever feel like, man, I can't do this because I'm a contradiction? Because you always made conscious music. Always. Mm-hmm. Like, it was always like the touch of people. It was always some positive messages. But it's been times in your life where you made mistakes. Mm-hmm. How was you able to get through that and be confident in yourself? Because, or was you just always confident in yourself no matter what happened?
I think that we all go through points to where we, you know, confident and not confident. And my music, I tend to write about me because I don't want it to come off as preachy. Like, I'm not telling you, you should do this, you should do this. I'm telling you, I went through this and I did this. And I think that's the difference to where I'm not necessarily living two lives. I'm just putting my best foot forward. These are things that I'm trying to grow into. So I got it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like you might not live in a mansion or nothing like that, but you keep your house clean because it's rooms, bro. Like, your whole life is rooms, and you're not going to grow into another room until you filled up this room. It's like if you fill up this whole room with junk, you're not going to graduate to the next room until you can't walk through this one. So you know what I'm saying? And so most people, they just ready to skip steps. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, fast forward to, I'm not affected by the negative or the positive, like you say. But it's steps, man. You got to graduate into those rooms. You don't want to be, goddamn, the room. You don't want the room to be too big for you.
So would you say then you made music for the life that you wanted to be? The life you wanted to live?
I made it for both. Hmm. For where I was, and then I made music to grow into as well. And I did it so that I wouldn't forget it. Mm. You know, a lot of times you can make a goal, and if it ain't in your face every day, you forget. You know what I'm saying? So I made shit, you ain't going to forget this, because 1,000 people is going to hold you accountable for it. Mm.
Okay? Was you doing it purposely for that in a moment?
Yes, purposely, purposely.
Mm. When you look at the music that you made 20 years ago, right? And you look at things that's happening now, 20 years later, what do you think? Do you think, like, man, I've been talking about this. Like, this is the stuff I've been trying to tell y'all.
I do. But the great thing is that, like, again, like, my belief system is different. Like, when I look at the Bible, I look at the Bible as it is a story. It's a bunch of events that happen, and it's personified. These events are personified into characters, right? And these characters represent different points in your life. All these characters are you, first of all. And all these different characters, they represent you in different points of your life. And I said that to say that even though while keeping in mind, while I'm writing all of this stuff, it's still like at the end result, everybody is still going to go through all of these things. So it ain't like I wrote something that was ahead of its time. When it's your time to go through this stuff, you still going to go through it. But the difference is now you kind of like the Bible. I don't mean to compare my music to the Bible, but, you know, you still have at least one roadmap of somebody that went through all of these phases that you're going to be going through. Mm-hmm. So when people say you think you're ahead of your time, no. The music is right on time. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yo, well, I was going to say that. I definitely was going to say that you was ahead of your time at a point. But I guess coming from Toledo, growing up in like the late 80s, early 90s, like that being like your time of age, coming to yourself, knowing what's around you. I feel like that time in Toledo, it was a lot of like crime. Like that probably was when crime was at its highest. And here you are, this kid making conscious R&B music, but you're still from the streets. You still got that background. What was the hardest part of that being in the industry, if you can remember, for you personally?
You mean being in the industry or being around, you know, my genre of people?
Both. Right. Shit.
Well, just being around, you know, my urban area, it was really in prison. I was really writing in prison. You know, cats are clown. You cats will make you feel bad about, you know, pursuing the talent. I think because it's norms in prison, it's norm. Like you get in there, you get you a hustle, you find out what you, if you're good at basketball, niggas gonna bet on you in basketball. If you're good at fighting, then you gotta find some niggas to extort. Like it's all of that going on. And when you separate from that, then you don't belong to a clique. So you don't inherit that protection from that particular clique. You know what I'm saying? And that probably was the hardest part because I remember fucking vividly, bro. I'll be in the music room looking out this window, you know, 19 years old or 18 years old, and I see them out there playing basketball, and there's a sunny day, everybody having fun, and I know we only getting an hour out the cells, and it's like, damn, I want to be out there, but I'm going to have the rest of my life to play some goddamn basketball. I'm only going to have these couple years that I'm locked up, God willing, to be able to create something that I could take care of myself and my future family with. Mm. That was probably one of the hardest parts.
What about getting out though? Because even like I'm thinking about when you're navigating through the music industry, but at the end of the day, you're still your core is still where we come from. Not saying that like we are our environment, but we are a product of it. And some things you just don't do where we come from, and especially in jail. I haven't spent time in jail to know, but like I know that certain things you don't do. Whereas though when you outside navigating in the industry, some things are okay, and it's like, bro, I'm not. Was it? Did you ever think about like, I can't do this? Like, this is it's not me.
You know, for me, bro, I'm not a friendly nigga like that, and I'm okay with that. I don't got a lot of friends now, man. People don't come to my house and shit like that. Like, and even when I was in the joint, I was a loner, like pretty much, like you know. Because I'm not going to listen to your bullshit conversation. I'm not going to feed your insecurities. I'm not doing none of that shit, bro. If you dead ass wrong, I'm going to tell you dead ass wrong. And that's just me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So as far as being in the music industry, yeah, it was some suspect shit that went on. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get them high profile people that's going to invite you to their house late at night and they just sitting, they're going to try your ass. They're going to come out in a robe talking about, so yeah, tell me about your music. Like, bro, why is you in a fucking robe at fucking 11:30 at night? Why I'm at you? I thought we was going to talk business. So you get put in positions like that, bro. But it was, I never felt pressure from these niggas because I wasn't around these niggas. Like, I got invited to the parties and all of that shit. My answer was no. It's like, why? Mm. Like, what is we celebrating that we need to be around 1,000 people in this bitch naked? And you dig? And I'm like, how does this celebration equate to success from over here? Mm. So I never had that because I'm not your nigga. I'm not your friend. Like, we do business. You know? And I think that's one of the problems that niggas, they confuse it and they wind up falling into a rabbit hole. It's because you be thinking that these niggas is your friends. You start going to the parties. You start taking their ideologies. Like, okay, we own the masters so we can make 5%. Let them have these niggas take as little as you possibly can. Send them on a... Like, that's their ideology. That's their culture. Bro, I'm not falling into your culture. I'm here for a season and a reason, bro. You dig?
Now, I only ask that because, like, me being, like you said, you older than me, I'm still growing and learning. But it was a time, shit, even now sometimes, where it'd be like, part of me feel like, man, I just don't fit into this little box of this, little, like, industry, because the way they move ain't me. And then when I move, how I move, it's so, it seems like it's so, like, different than everybody else that I get chastised or I get, like, X'd out. Like, nah, I'm not... Bro, I'm not okay with this. It's not good. Like, I'm not okay with that. I'm not doing it. And so, like, if I'm by myself, I'd rather be by myself and I don't want to go to your party. It's funny, like, I say the same thing, but people be like, you got to go out, Jay. You got to meet people. Like, I don't care about these
people. Tell me the same shit, bro. And I tell you like this. You do got a choice. And you ain't necessarily got to change you. You got to change your goals. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of motherfuckers' goals in this game is just to get money. And if, you know, again, like I told you earlier, I don't believe in good and bad, true and false. I believe in perspective. So when people ask me, you know, I don't really want to do this and I don't really, I always say, what's the goal? And if your goal is just this simply, then you probably should do that shit because that's your only goal. Your only goal is to get money. And if that is really your goal, then you're supposed to be able to do all of the shit that come with it. If you got to rob a nigga, if you got to cheat a nigga, whatever it is, if that's your only goal, hell, a block of wood can point you in the way of that. Because it's any direction. If you don't know where the fuck you're going, then a block of wood can point you in that direction because it's anywhere. But if you start refining your goals, yeah, I want to get money, but I want to get money without having to hurt nobody. I want to get money and be able to empower people around me to get money. All these different things, your GPS change. You dig what I'm saying? Yeah, your time on your GPS may be longer now. Some shit that might say it was 30 minutes away, now it turned into 3 hours away. But either way, you know the destination you going to. You dig what I'm saying?
No, we talk about the change and like your goal, man, change or it being refined. I ain't gonna say change, but it being refined along the way. At what point of time did you see your goal being refined? And what was it at first? Like when you first started, what was your goal?
Again, the ironic part, my goal was just to be able to help people that was in like situations. My shit wasn't about no money or nothing. Like when I used to sit and write them songs, never once did it cross my mind, oh, I'm gonna get money from writing this song. It was always just to help people. And then it just so happened that in the rounds of me helping all these people, I helping to get some money too. You see? But my goal was always just this, never all this other shit.
And it's crazy as it sounds, they say, like, the more people you help, the more money you make.
You do, because look, it's just like, don't you ever, and I know people see this in their lives all the time, the nigga they try to save the most money is the nigga that ain't never got no money. Because he penny pinching, he coupons, he doing all this, but he ain't never got no money because you put that vibration into the universe that you lacking. You see what I'm saying? And back to your point that when you help people, it puts a vibration into the universe that you got it to help them. All it is the universe, just everything out in this world is just an echo from you on the inside. You put this shit out here. If it's something going wrong in your life, your baby mama, she got a dirty license plate or whatever it is that's going on, that's a reflection of you. And once you start taking accountability for everything, the smallest thing, even if you think it had nothing to do with you, if it seemed it had nothing to do with you, when you can take accountability for that, then you at a point in your life to where you're going to start getting some blessings, some true blessings.
You know, it's funny, speaking of helping people, this is one thing that stood out to me about your career. It was a time where, I don't know if you was in between being signed or you got dropped or something like that. It was something like that. You started doing shows for free.
Yes.
Right? This is a while ago. And then, like, a label saw you and they picked you up, right? Is that how it went? Like,
so, again, like, this shit meaningful to me, man, because when I first started, I was doing shows for free. I had a song on the radio. I was doing shows for free after I got signed. And when I went back to prison, wasn't nobody fucking with me. And I had to ask myself, that same energy that you put into it in the beginning, starting over, you willing to start over like that shit again? And my answer was yes. Bro, I came home from prison, platinum selling artist. I'm out here doing fucking shows for free because it meant something to me. It wasn't about the money. I was just like, I know if I could touch the people, the money is going to come. So whatever it is you're doing in your life, if you can touch the people, don't worry about the money. I promise you, that shit will come.
So did you ever, ever in your career see yourself like, man, because like, for example, I always say sometimes the experience can be a part of the downfall. Because like sometimes, I guess I'm even me, sometimes like I get to interviewing people that I always wanted to interview. And it's like, nah, man, I'm not about to. You get what I'm trying to say? Whereas though, when I first started, I would interview anybody. And I'd be like, nah, I got to get back in that mode. You get what I'm saying? I got to get back in that mode because that's what got me here. But, I mean, we human, though.
Hungry. You got to stay hungry.
But we human, though. So I was wondering, like, was there ever a time where you was like, yo, okay, let's recalibrate. Let me not let this stuff get to my head. I got to go back to hungry life.
You know, it never got to that point with me for two reasons. The first reason is that I genuinely love what I do. If you're doing something for some money and you don't really love that shit, then yes, it's bound to get tired of doing that shit. And then number two is that I'm not afraid to not have it because I've experienced it. That was a blessing, being fucking in jail, eating two times a day for years and years. Like, I've experienced that. So if I'm out here on the street, what people in my position might consider as not really having no money or no resources, I'm doing great compared to where I just was. Like, I'm not afraid of that shit, man. So those two things just keep me moving forward. I'm never going to look back. I'm all right whether I got it, don't got it, because I love what the fuck I'm doing.
That's real. Yeah, I actually wanted to ask you this when I first started. I don't know how we just got into some good conversation. Yo, because I think I seen Wallo talk about why he chose 267. And it was like his cell number, but also like his zip code, his area code, if I'm not mistaken. And you have something similar for your first project. That was like your cell ID number, something like that, right? What made you want to embrace that? Because some people are like, man, that's not me. That's not who I am. It ain't going to be like, I don't want that. I don't want people to think that made me or anything like that. But you kind of embraced that.
I want people to just know where I came from. Again, like me being in prison, one of the things that I saw as soon as I got to prison, well, when I was on the street, you know, I used to hustle, sell dope, whatever. And as I would see people just disappearing, like the older people that would come by, like them niggas used to just be disappearing. And the first thing I noticed when I got to prison is this is where everybody at. Everybody disappeared. The niggas is in prison, man. And so I just knew it's such a culture in there. It's so much talent in there. And a lot of people just counted themselves out. Like, prison is a depressing place, bro. It's people that think that their life is over in there. Your family, I mean, it happened to me. Your family just abandoned you, bro. You ain't getting no letters. You're not eating. If you ain't going to the commissary, you be forced into going into certain trades, stealing and all kind of stuff, just trying to survive, man. You really think it's over. And I just wanted that number plastered on there so when people see that success, they like, damn, he did come from this to this. So it's possible for me to do the same thing.
That's real. Yo, let's get into some more music real quick. I feel like I seen you speak up a lot about, a few times about just the aging of, I'm going to just say African-American music, right? And how we kind of like wash our hands with older artists per se, right? And they don't do that in other genres. I spoke a little bit about that with Isaac Hayes III. And he was saying like, when you look at like just other genres of music, they highlight them. Like, you can't go into a grocery store and not see an Elvis Presley on a magazine. You're going to see this, whereas the African American culture and music is always the next new guy and away with the older generation. Do you still feel like that to this day?
Yes, definitely. I think that they breed us like that. Like, you know, just like you hear music getting raunchier and raunchier, who can say the shit that got the most shock value is the cat that's going to get the money. And when they breed you like that, then yes, these kids is going to look at it like, I have to do this. I have to, even chicks right now. Like, they look at the rap. I don't mean to jump subjects, but like if you look at even the rap game with chicks, I think they're talented. I definitely always think that women is talented in far more areas than just rap. But women feel like they feel right now, and it's reflected in their music because they got the shitty end of the deal with men in the 70s. Got their ass beat and all kind of shit, and there wasn't really no outlet for them to even, to, you know, get some kind of justice. So now they in a position right now to where they the pimps. They the ones with the bread and all of this stuff. But the thing that I think about is like, damn, like you waited all this time and you finally getting your moment. And I understand where it's coming from, but this is what you want to do with your moment? You want to do the same thing to somebody and that you felt so bad that they did the shit to you.
Hey, man.
Shit a little weird for me, man.
You wanna have this conversation?
They gonna hate me for this conversation.
Nah, they might hate me for this conversation because I say the same thing about our people. I know that people hate, I've made this comment before, people hate it, but I don't give a damn. I feel like it's some black people who ain't going to be satisfied until they own a slave themselves.
Man, I never said that.
I said it, Jay. I'm just letting you know.
But I've been feeling like that. And here's a prime example just in my field. The contracts to where the label will own your masters, and masters make about 3-4 times what the writer make. And they own your masters forever. And they make it hard as hell for you to even get your masters back in 25 years, right? That's damn robbery. You see people out here starving who had hits on the radio, and now they starving because they can't collect money too. But the black people who came in the game at that time, they learned the game from the white people, right? Mm. And then they implement the same game
on their own
black people. On their own people, bro. Shit is just, and that's why I never had like labels to where I was, you know, signing artists and actively trying. Cause I used to be like, bro, like I'm not gonna do the same shit they did to me, man.
Mm. You know? But that I brought it up because we talking about the woman and like they's like, mm-hmm. This is your time, but now you, and it's like shit. It's not even a man or woman thing. It's people in general. People are going to be people. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a shame, but like, that's the life, that world we live in.
Yeah. It's what Rome used to call the mob. You dig? It's the group of people, they are attracted to the bullshit. So if you want to be in line with these people, then you have to give them this bullshit that they attracted to.
Mm. Okay, so going back to the aging of artists, right? The older artists. One thing I want to say is that may be true. However, you can't recreate a feeling. And I'm not trying to sound like the new kids or like some of these people out here that be like, vibes, this is the vibes, they going with the vibes. I ain't going with the vibes. But you can't deny that. Like it's a difference from a song that's a hit right now and that's a song that's a hit forever. Mm-hmm. So it might feel like hip hop or African-American music is aging out artists, but eventually it catches back up with us. Because it's a song right now that you play, it's like, oh, it makes you feel different, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, yeah, we might age our artists a little bit, but it ain't going nowhere.
I really think that's what's classic is classic. Like, I listen to records, and I'm like, if this record came out today, this record would be a hit today. And I think some of the reasons behind that is because those was real instruments.
Mm.
You know, if you look at the wavelength, you know what I'm saying? You look at the vibrations of real instruments, those are different than computer instruments. Because computer instruments are dead on. They wave patterns are duplicate. You know what I'm saying? But when you play a guitar or something like that, that wave pattern, the crest is a little farther apart right here, a little closer right here. Mm. And you know what they call that? The blue note. That's the feel. That ain't a computer feel. You can't get that shit from a computer.
Mm. That how are you making these records? Like, because you got a couple of these. Like, especially we talk about...
It can get lonely climbing Mount McKinley. So to entertain myself, I go to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, I can play hundreds of online casino-style games for free. Like online slots, bingo, slingo, and more. Plus, I get a daily login bonus. It's just too bad that up here, I don't have anyone to share my excitement with. Woohoo! Woohoo!
Live the Chumba life anytime, anywhere. Play for free now at ChumbaCasino.com. VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Your debut project. And I think Must Be Nice was on that.
Yeah.
You talk about that. Like, that's one of them records that I'm talking about. Like, that's one of them records that it can't be duplicated. Yeah, we could do a sample, but and a sample might be nostalgic at best. You know what I'm saying? Like, it made me think about those times, but it made me think about the original time. You can't. Right. How are you making that?
How did I make that?
Yeah,
record?
Like, how was you making it? When you talk about these instruments and things like that, like, I know you was practicing instruments in jail because, like, I think you could only use the gun. Like, we know that, but I'm saying, like, what was going through your mind? Because you, again, I'm just confused. I don't know. Like, because, like, we got people nowadays making music, but like you said, it's duplicate. But whereas, when you're making, like, what goes into making a classic? Do you even know?
I didn't have what they call, not sequence. I don't know why.
What, Pro Tools?
Not Pro Tools. I forget to where you sync everything up to where it's all the same. What is it? I don't know how I'm not remembering.
You're not talking about the little, what's name meter thing? No, you ain't talking about that.
I forget. Some of the musicians going to know what I'm talking about, but it's basically how the computer will sync all the notes to where they all come on time. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called. I didn't have that then. Like, I played a mood. If you listen to that, like, you know, the beats per measure change throughout the song. It's not even 4-4 or none of that stuff. I mean, I played it with a metronome going, but it still varies inside of that, man. Mm. So I think that even when I write, number one, and I do music, I don't deal with just trying to lock it in on beat. So it's just got a feel to it. And also when I write, I always just try to write every lyric that I write. I just imagine that somebody is getting some from it when I write it.
Mm.
Maybe, I mean, other than that, I don't really know, man.
Mm. Yeah, I know. Like, I know that's one thing that people wish, or hitmakers like yourself wish that they could master. Like, if I could master making a classic, I would make a million of those moments. Like,
I'm going to tell you a story I ain't even never told nobody either. You know, Must Be Nice almost didn't happen. Because I had wrote Must Be Nice. It was one of the few songs on my first album that I wrote when I came home. I didn't write Must Be Nice when I was locked up. So, matter of fact, I think it was the first song I wrote when I came home. And when I wrote that song, I had a twin cousins and my brother. They had a group. And they liked the song Must Be Nice. And so I was like, well, shit, y'all can have the song. I taught them the song. I gave them the song. They rehearsed it. I think they may even... performed it, right? And then it so happened when they was about to put the song out, they wind up breaking up. So the song was just like sitting in limbo. And so when I was doing my album, I was like, yo, y'all not gonna use that song no more. They was like, nah, we just ain't never got back together. So I just cut the song myself. And there you go.
20 years later,
nobody
still a
ever
classic.
Heard that story even. Like, yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
That, so, all right, so hold on. We're going back and forth for a little bit. Now you re-releasing a lot of these songs, right?
Yes, yes.
I'm assuming that got something to do with Matt, we were talking earlier, like masters and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can own the rights and you can get paid from this.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'm correct with that. Boy, do you think that even if it don't get as much as, I guess, publicity that the original songs got, mm-hmm. like, what does that mean to you to be able to do that now?
It's ownership, you know. It's a big thing about it, you know. Irv Gotti was upset at Ashanti for doing it. Taylor Swift, the label, was upset at her.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, you know, when you look at the breakdown, if you have, let's say that a dollar every time a song is played, the master is going to get 75 cents. And then the writer side is going to get like 25 cents, right? And for me, I'm not saying that the label gave me a bad shake. The label invested a lot of time and a lot of money into what it is that I do, and they helped me create this. But at the same time, it's only so much payback that you owe a cat for what they've done.
Yeah.
And so now I wanted to re-record. So now you hear that, you see the line AOU, which is my tagline. That means artist owned umbrella. And that's a company that I have. And every time that you see the AOU, that means that that money is going straight to the artist.
Mm.
And so it's like I got a flagship, and you're going to see that on a lot of other cats' projects. And when you stream, when anybody stream, you know, you might want to spread this word. If you just stream in the regular version, that money going to the label. But if you stream the AOU version, then that money is going straight to the artist.
So that's wow. So wait, you don't own your masters still to this day?
So, bro, it's so crazy. But in short, you're supposed to get your masters back. You can get your masters back
at
in
the 25
years.
Yeah.
But it's so crazy, in 22 years, you have to file papers. And you only got a month window. And if you don't file in that month window, then it's in a contract. They own your masters forever. So you got to file in this window 2 years before and let them know that you plan on filing again in the next 2 years to get your masters back.
Damn.
They just make it so hard, bro. So when you see the AOU, you ain't got to wait on all of that, man.
Bro, that's insane. That's crazy.
It's even deeper than that, but that's just the, you know.
So wait, even when people make like, because sampling is a big deal now, right? Mm-hmm. Even when people sample, you don't get paid for that at all.
You get paid for it on the writer side, but the master side.
That's 75%.
Strictly label.
So have you ever, so I talked to JT Money, and I think a couple people had sampled his his original song, and they had contacted him, and they paid him. He was like, "Man, if they find out, like, we'll have that later." You ever have anybody like contact you directly, thinking they had to get the okay from you, and you like maybe took the all right? Yeah, you could do it as good.
Nah, because it's kind of cheating them too. Like if I just take their bread or whatever, and then they put out the song, the label is gonna put a cease and desist, and I done already got the bread already. So, you know, you got to handle business the right way.
Damn, it ain't no go around this one.
Re-record the masters. Slap that AOU on the end of it, and then people know, man.
Yo, you know what's funny? I always hear you talk about, like, woman and, like, you know, like, I don't want to say protecting the woman, but, like, just, like, in a good light. And even down to the song, Till You Gone, right? It was a perspective about the girl getting a BBW that I thought was dope, but I was like, this applies to men as well. But basically what happened was, you go watch the video, till you gone, I'll say that right?
Right.
And the girl, her boyfriend was saying that you should get a BBW. And her mother was like, nah, if he's going to love you, he's going to love you regardless. Make a long story short, she ended up giving a BBW. It wasn't, am I saying it right? Yeah, she ended
BBL,
up. BBL. I'm tripping. Right. She ended up getting I'm saying BBW, you're freaky ass. Anyway, yeah, she ended up getting a BBL, and it didn't go well. Her man left her, and then, like, she ended up, like, overdosing. But even that was basically a metaphor for life. Like, you do so many things to please somebody until you're depleted. And I instantly thought about young men, especially in today's society, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like it was a time where I felt like I had to show up as so many different men to please somebody, to be the person that they were looking for. And I was wondering, like, have you ever felt like that? Because, yeah, we could look at it from the woman perspective, but we men. And I wanted to, like, talk about that. I feel like that happens a lot in young men nowadays, bro.
Again, it's even dope that you use your pedestal to talk about that, because it almost felt like it's kind of taboo to even say that I got feelings as a man. it's like you can't say shit about how you feel. Oh, you a man, suck it up, and this, that, and the third. But yes, man, I mean, you said it all right there. Mm. You just said it all right there. It's just you are put in a position to where not only do you give so much, you expected to give that. So that means it's not even any thanks or any prayer. This was some shit you were supposed to do, man. You know?
Mm-mm-mm.
That's why I just don't fuck with broke ass females, man. I just like that ain't even on my menu. Like, You know, you'll be talking to a chick and the chick will be like, yeah, I'm trying to, I need my nails done. Can you blah, blah? I'm like, nope. Not giving you shit. Well, can you help me? No, I'm not giving you shit. Nothing. Period. Anything I do with my money is an investment. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know you well enough to invest into you. I'm not, so women out there, that when you see me, I'm not getting your hair done, your nails done, or none of that shit. If you ain't whole when I found you, what the hell I look like? Goddamn, trying to sew on half of an apple on your half of an apple. Baby, I'm not. Nah.
I think it makes it hard. Like, especially when you've been through so much, bro, you experienced so much, it makes it hard to even date nowadays. Because it's like now, because you know so much, you're picking at everything kind of like, nope, I'm not going for that. Nope, I'm not going for that. It's like I know too much almost. It's like I'm too healed. Like, shit.
Man, for real. I don't, baby.
I opened up a door. I could see it was a door.
Because, you know, and people be telling me, people actually say that I'm bitter when I say stuff like, I'm not paying for your hair and nails. Ain't that a weird ass point to be in when I say I'm not doing something for a woman, then I got to be bitter? I got to be bitter?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird, but like you said, it ain't no wrong or right. It's understandable because so many dudes out here who just...
Think about this, young. And I'm telling you this, not just for you, for the other young cats that's out here. Think about this. Imagine that you got to chase this woman. You got to do all these things because she like, you got to court me. You got to buy me flowers. You got to show me that you the one. And you got to do all of this just to get her and have to take care of her for the rest of your life. What, like, where the prize at in this shit, bro? Where's this shit at, man?
Bro, I was gonna ask you this, bro. I was waiting for the right time. I feel like you had your fair share, right? And of like dating or dealing with women, right? And I was gonna ask you, do you feel like it's been a time where, or not, has it been a time? Do you feel like we always hear men say like, "Man, chick that hold me down," but it's like, cause you was dating one of your chicks before you literally made it or whatever, and I was wondering that experience because sometimes a chick can literally hold you down. And it's like whole time a girl would think that like she was down for you the whole time. It's like, nah, bro, you was complaining. You was making it harder for me. Like, to be honest.
You was just there. You wasn't driving. You was just in the car.
And I was wondering, like, what did you feel like that?
Yeah, I felt like that. And that's kind of just what made me the way that I am. It's like for me, right now, at this my grown point, I need a partner. I need you to be perfectly satisfied with yourself. I don't want to hear that shit. I need my other half. No, I can't be your other half, baby. I can't make you happy and you can't make me happy. You got to be happy when you come. And then when our happiness get together, we can share happy stories. You dig what I'm saying? It's like a wavelength, bro. It's like if my wavelength is a 10 and yours is a 5, when I get with you, I'm going to bring you up to a 7.5, but you're going to bring me down to a 7.5. And that don't mean that I can't get with somebody that is a 5, but you can't be across the board 5s, financially, mentally, physically, socially, economically. You can't be 5s across the board and bring me down everywhere, because I might be a 5 over here and you can bring me up. It just got to be give and take. I'm not on that shit. Just keep on giving to you. And then a woman to say some shit like, oh, well, I'm not going to follow you until you can show me that you can lead. I'm going to show you that I can leave when you ain't going to even listen. You ain't even listening for me to show you that I got to show you this shit in order to be able to show you this shit. Nah, maturity. I need maturity, bro. Like, I'm tired of that little girl ass shit. I need maturity. We can agree to disagree. Go shake an apple tree somewhere else, baby. Because these oranges stand in this goddamn tree, baby.
Wait. So you mean to tell me you probably like maybe almost 20 years older than me and... Mm-hmm. You feel the same way? Yeah. Where's the hope?
No, it is hope because, again, it start with you. But because I'm like this, right? I don't even got to say it. This is who I am. Now I attract women like that. I was looking for a woman and a woman in a certain way, and I wasn't in a certain way myself. I wasn't totally secure with me. I didn't have my own shit. I wasn't totally... taking accountability for everything that went on in my life, but yet I was looking for somebody who took accountability for their life, who had their own shit. So when I'm looking for it, I never find it. Then when I became it myself, and now I'm not chasing no more, this shit is attracted to me. Mm. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, women right now, I like that, are attracted to me, but only because I am that now.
That's real. Yeah. Yo, so you coming out with new music, right?
Yes.
But, like, be playing devil's advocate, right? Just bear with me. Why
you
I want to hear
that a lot?
Yeah, man. You feel me? Why I want to listen to the healed life, Jenny? Like, I like the hurt. I like the pain. Like, I want to listen to this healed shit.
You got to be a balance. You know what I'm saying? I'm in new territory, so it's definitely more pain, but it's just in a different way. But actually, this record that I'm about to release right now, I was going through some shit. So if that's what you're talking about, then I was in that bag right there, man. But I don't always want to be in pain, man. I don't. It's just that I reflect back on my shit a lot, man. When you got to have some good times to reflect to, because you get more of what you think about. And if you're always reminiscing on the bad shit, the universe gonna think you want more of the bad shit. Mm. You know, I don't. I really don't. I do want bad shit, but only in the context that I want it so that I can really, really appreciate the good shit.
Mm. And it's crazy because you speak about now, men, people, or the like, the world, as if like men can't cry. And I think you made a track about being able to cry. Yeah, like, I remember. Yeah. It just dawned on me. You made a track about being able to cry, especially as a man, and just like allowing it to be released or whatever. Pause. I don't know, though. Whatever. That's some young shit. That's some young nigga shit.
That's
you probably ain't, you probably
shit.
Ain't
you
not one of
young niggas.
It's cool. It's cool. I'm going to be me, nigga. Like.
That's right. That's right.
But no, so like, but we talk about years later. I don't know how long ago that was. It had to be 10 plus. But now, like 10 plus, we still talking about the same thing.
Again, like it's the mansions again. You know what I'm saying? It's them different states. People live in them states ain't going nowhere. Mm. That pain, them situations, they are a state. They're never going anywhere. And just like I told you about the personification of characters, each individual character is going to pass through these states on his way home. On your way home, you're going to pass through these states, bro.
Bro, it's okay to just say you were ahead of the curve, bro. It's okay to take your... It's okay. Just take that. It's all right.
Bro, I mean, I could say that, but I would feel like that I was lying, man, because, again, these states was here before I got here. Mm. I just talked about the same state that Marvin Gaye talked about, or even Elvis Presley in his own way, you know?
Mm, that's crazy. Damn, man. All right, so you got some other businesses going on, too. You got, like, I think I seen you doing a children's book or something like that.
Yeah, man. More helpful stuff. I got a children's book. It's called The Adventures of Life. It just dropped. People blowing me up talking about, am I going to release it audio or whatever? And no, because these kids is not reading it. The main reason why I released it like this is because these kids are not reading unless it's on their phones and stuff. I want them to have physical books. It's some of, like, I don't know if you read or not, bro, but you could watch the movie and it's a good-ass movie. But if you read the book, it's like filling them words and turning them pages, man. It's just the vibration is different, man. Mm. So I want them kids to get back to that. So.
It's funny because I probably read a couple books in my life, but I when I first got into like books, I guess, I started to do audiobooks. Mm. And I ain't gonna lie, I feel like the world made me feel like shit for doing audiobooks. But I feel like the information is the information.
But you know the difference?
What's the difference?
Vocabulary. See, your vocabulary ain't gonna necessarily improve if you listening to the audiobooks. But if you reading it on paper, unbeknownst to you, when you just speaking, your whole vocabulary just going, you're going to be a Martian out here, you know? Mm. And I don't know what it is, bro. The vibrations from, you take a book, put it under your pillow, and go to sleep on that book, bro. You damn near going to know what that book is about by the time you wake up.
Man, you on some magical shit.
Bro, the world is magical, and that's what's wrong with niggas now, too. You don't believe in magic no more. You know what I'm saying? Shit is real,
I
man.
Believe in God. I don't know about that one.
Well, some people call God magical. You think about it. Somebody that can see everything that you're doing, come down and turn the water into wine, that shit magic, ain't it?
Mm.
That's what we call regular day magic.
This is true.
Yeah, man.
That's real. So the book, is a child's book that they can read?
It's a children's book. It's a 3-book series right now. I plan on writing 1 or 2 books a year and adding to it, you know? And they can get this plug at theventuresoflife.com. They can go just order the book.
What made you go in that direction?
Because it's, you know, first of all, kids are smarter than we are because they are the compilation of all of the stuff that we've learned in our life, given to them on top of all the new stuff that they learning. And I know that, you know, growing up in your life, there's so many questions that you have. You have so many talents and you'll be like, I don't know what I should do. And then you will procrastinate. You won't choose anything when in reality, you got your whole life. Pick one thing. If it don't work out, jump to the other thing. And just questions like this, I put them in the book form. You know what I'm saying? So that a kid won't have to go through the life that I went through learning all of this shit. They can just get it from me, you know?
It's crazy. When you say kids are smarter than us, the reason, that thing that popped up is because they're so intuitive. Like, they ask so many questions. And, like, then that made me think of, like, the reason you put the Y in your name.
Oh,
because
yeah.
You ask so many questions.
Exactly.
It's crazy how things, like, a full circle moment.
Man, it's so many full circle moments. Even at AOU. Like, you know, AOU is Artist Owned Umbrella. Remember I told you and you know that's... I just said that on the fly, on a record. Like, my dude was recording, I was just like, AOU.
Yeah.
I just said it on the fly, and that became my kind of catchphrase, and now it's a whole company. AOU, it's crazy, man.
That's insane. Yeah. Damn, bro. This is dope, bro. I'm glad you was able to pull up. I guess one last question before you get out of here, man. Now that is done, you said you're not big on, like, doing things for money. And I don't really ask this a lot, but I'm just curious because you seem like super, like,
intellectual. No, let me correct you. I'm not. I didn't say I'm not.
I mean, yeah, you do things
doing
for money. Right. We gotta survive out this motherfucker. Paid. I get that.
Yeah,
but you ain't driven by money.
Right.
That's
I'm not driven by money. Right.
You're not being driven by money.
There's other things of value to me besides money.
You're still making new music.
Mm-hmm.
You're still writing books.
Mm-hmm.
You recording your old music.
Mm-hmm. Clothing line popping.
Why?
Repetition.
What's the purpose of this?
Really, at this point right now, I'm straight. I think I could get through the rest of it. You know what I got. But my kids, you know what I'm saying? I think that I don't necessarily have a need for my kids to be rich. I'm more interested in them having freedom. Mm. And since this money, it puts you in a position to where you don't have to chase down a job or you have to sell your dreams and goals. I want them to experience that like I've experienced it.
Mm. Do you think that they would appreciate that when it's all said and done?
Of course not. You know what I'm saying? But maybe they will. And so I at least got to take that chance, man.
You a smart nigga, boy. I swear to God.
You know them damn kids. You're going to leave cars. They're going to tear that shit up. They're going to spend the money. They're going to do everything, man. You know?
And that's like, so why do we do this as men? Like, because it's like, if we had to go through some things. That's why we appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? We understand what it feels not to have some things. You know what I'm trying to say?
Somebody took a chance on me, though. That label wouldn't have took a chance on Life Jennings. That one chance, that one in a million, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. So who would I be not to take a chance on my own flesh and blood?
And this time is genuine, though. And, like, not to drag this, but it's crazy because we look at opportunities. This shit just struck a nerve. I'm sorry. We look at opportunities as if it's, like, special. And like you said, it's like it just rums, right? Like, and sometimes the opportunity for somebody else might not be the same opportunity for you, or it might just be the rum that you pass through. And I say that to say, like, we got to be careful, and this is for young people. I had to go through this. Like, we got to be careful of opportunities that's presented itself, because like you said, like, we can't ignore the you being signed. But now 20 something years later, we see how where you are, like how messed up it is, right? And how hard it is for you as an artist. And it's like sometimes people present, or the devil can present opportunities in a form of a blessing when it's really a curse. And we just gotta be careful out there. I just wanna put that out there for the kids, because sometimes, and people try to hold it over your head. I know you felt like somebody had come through, they give you something, and now they feel like you owed to them, like you in debt to them forever. And it's like, nigga, no, just because you like, thank you, but that don't mean nothing. Like, you feel me? Like,
right.
And that's some real shit, bro.
I went through that too. Went through that. Everybody hand out. Remember when I did this for you? Whenever I did this for you? It's like, it's a pleasure to be helpful to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you never, bro, the way the universe works, the only reason that you might be super, super successful is because you, God is putting you in the position to be able to help this person over here.
Mm-mm-mm.
God will, look, bro, God will build a person up to great, great heights just only for somebody else who's more deserving. God had to build it up in you, and then here come this other person that ain't really did nothing. God to take it all from you and slide it over here.
Mm-mm-mm.
So you never know, man. Just be situated in your humble role, man. Just be of service to people. That's it.
100%, man. I appreciate you for pulling up, man. Anything else that we didn't touch on that you got going on?
You know, I got the clothing brand going on, Repetition. I do want to touch on that. Obviously, I don't know if you saw it, and damn, I should have brought you some stuff too, bro. But if you give my assistant your address and stuff, I want to send you some stuff, man.
I appreciate that, yeah.
And it's just an elephant got a little tie on his leg with a post. So when baby elephants are young, they usually chain to a post so they can't get away. And so they grow up with this chain on their leg. And after they become fully grown elephants, they take the chain off of their leg and they just put a little rope tied to a post. But the elephant won't even try to get away no more because it's been indoctrinated in believing that it can't. Mm. And so the only way that you can break these cords that can no longer hold you anymore is through repetition,
through
speaking life into yourself and others and being able to recognize that these things may have held you as a child, such as childhood trauma, everybody crying out, but with my mama, my daddy, all that stuff shouldn't hold you back no more. Ain't no more excuses, bro. You can break this little, this ain't a chain no more.
Mm.
It was a chain when you was a kid. This shit is a little itty bitty ass rope. You can break free of this shit now. And that's my clothing brand. And I call it intellectual fashion. You dig what I'm saying? Because you may look good, but you don't feel good. So put on some shit that's going to help you to look good and feel good. You know? Mm, repetition.
Mm, mm. That's so good, bro. Yeah. I'm not going to lie, bro. I know we getting out of here. It's just like, I always have, like, I empathize with people like you because I could be wrong. I don't know. I just feel like the people that stand for something need to be promoted more. I feel like you don't see a lot of that. We see a bunch of the bullshit. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, It makes it feels like, cause like, bro, yeah, I'm successful now. My podcast is doing pretty dope. But it's like, it was a time where I was those kids looking on TV, looking at the interviews, looking at the listening to the radios. And I was like I was impressionable. Like those people had an impression on me. And I could see like the kids now looking at the same people being impressed upon on them and wanting to do the same thing. And it's like, bro, that's the last thing that should be impressionable. Like the shit that niggas is promoting. So when I hear you talk about this elephant having a chain like tied to their leg as a baby elephant, and then when they become an adult elephant, they put a rope on it. It's not really a chain, but they don't go anywhere. I understand that. And it's like, bro, if we had more people promoting these messages, then we would grow up understanding that now we aren't chained to anything. We can grow and we don't have to blame our parents for things. You know what I'm saying? We can do it. You feel what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like those messages aren't publicized the way a lot of these other messages are. And I'd be like, man, I don't know. That shit really be frustrating.
Because they don't want you smart, bro. They don't want you smart because you know what happens? When you start taking accountability for your life, that shit bleeds through your clothes, man. That shit bleeds through your soul. Now you're going to start looking at what you eat. Now you're going to say, you know what? Sugar is poison. Sugar is a multi-billion dollar institute. Now you're going to start looking at like, damn, Christmas ain't really real. You know, why am I fucking going broke every year spending all this money for Christmas presents? And Christmas makes up 70% of the United States economy.
And it's something that they created.
Right. And so when you dig deeper, the rabbit hole go way deeper than just that. But they don't want you to be smart in any facet of your life, because like I say, it's going to bleed into other areas. And while United States is a great place, it's a lot more freedoms here, and I'm appreciative to be here and not anywhere else. But you got to look at what it's actually built upon. Like this shit, the rug could get pulled up under out of this shit at any time. If the people was intelligent in the United States couldn't really stand. It would have nothing to stand on, you know?
And to be honest, bro, a lot of this stuff, I said this before, and it's like, it's the hard truth, but a lot of this stuff, all these murders, all these just these rapings and just foul things, not saying I want to be a slave, but it's like, that'd be the price of freedom, if you think about it.
Let me tell you something else why we on that. And this is why. It's a lot of shit I can't say.
I said, we got to be careful, because I can speak my mind. You can't, but I'm not Life Jimmy, so.
And people think that, oh, that's just conspiracy theories. No, bro. You start fucking with niggas. Money. I ain't going to even name names, but you can see shit going on right now when you start messing with these people money. And you got to respect it. You know what I'm saying? Because I love my family. I don't want to necessarily say anything that could cause them, to be in jeopardy in any kind of way, or myself. So having said that, you can't help everybody.
Mm.
You know, they say shit like each one teach one, and everything that everybody know, they want to tell everybody else. You can't do that, because now you become a target. And I'm not going to become a target to give a motherfucker some information that they're not even going to use. It's just like, I'm just talking just to hear myself talk. I want you to think I got a lot of knowledge. I'm not doing that shit. And just as an example, this AOU thing, right? I don't even know how far I'm going to go with it. I'm actually debating on it in my mind right now. Do you know my company haven't even been up? Diamond, where we just put this shit up like a month ago or something? I get an email and a call like 2 days ago and got offered a lot of money just for the trademark. Mm. I didn't even know that. How they even know that I had the trademark to AOU? Got offered a lot of money for AOU, and I'm just telling my folks, I said, damn, like, that's kind of weird. Somebody offered me some money for AOU already, but then I thought about it. AOU is a dangerous thing, because if an artist puts AOU after their song and people only stream the AOU versions, that means it totally wipes out the record company's revenue. That's loans. That's big bank loans. That's big finance. That's billions of dollars.
Mm.
And for Life Jenny, that shit may be a little too steep for me, so I may just use that shit just on my project, right? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because...
Nah, man, you got
and
to, bro.
And it was a substantial offer. Like,
yeah,
it
but
was...
you got to, though. But, like, I'm not wishing this on nobody, but, man, that's what makes people great in legacy. Like, you got to. You can't keep that to yourself.
I say I'm thinking about it, but I'm being thoughtful about it. You know, because even dealing with a cat like Kanye, a lot of shit that he said was correct. I think that the package that he put it into and the filter that he used, like, he seemed like he was coming from a place of pain and trying to hurt somebody. But, you know, he was talking a lot of shit about banks. He was talking that shit, bro. Like, if you in the know, you know how banks work and different things like that. He wasn't lying.
I think you know? Said this before. I feel like, I think you did say this. He, like, it's kind of, it reminded me of, like, how I got when I first got into my new church. You get introduced to something new and, like, you just run a million miles. You know what I'm saying? You run a million miles, right? And it's like, you want to tell everybody. And it's like, it's good, but you don't even have all the info. You're not equipped enough to tell everybody because you don't have all the information. You know what I'm saying? And with Kanye West, it was bad because he has a platform. And I love, like, I know a lot of people don't think about the Zodiac shit, but I'm a Gemini. I think you're a Gemini. Your birthday, two days before mine. Like, he's a Gemini. It's like, I understand, because sometimes we miss, like, misunderstood. However, with all due respect, as much as I did love Kanye West, I can still look at him and be like, bro, he misused his platform. And that shit was, it just, he could have did a better, I understand what he's trying to do, but he could have did a better job, because he said so many things and it just, nah, I can't give him more passes.
He didn't realize what his platform was for.
But he should have.
Yeah, he definitely should have, because not you jeopardize.
As, like, a man, I'm like, he should have.
Yeah, bro,
like,
he could have really, really changed some things. He could have, even in politics, like, imagine if you can just go meet with the president, that's power. But I felt like that it kind of made his ego swell. Like, he didn't look at this as beneficial for the people, not just me. So I got to protect it for not just one, I got to protect it for millions.
Mm.
You dig?
Damn, that just woke me up, bro. I know, cap, I ain't gonna lie. I feel like it's always goods and bads of everything, right? And I think that's what comes with being too much of an underdog, if that makes sense. Because I think about, like, every time Kanye West went into something new, people would say he couldn't do it. So it's like, but at some level, you got to be, like, okay with your success. When you try to touch into, like, too many things, now you get in there over your head, like, bro, you ain't the underdog, bro. Just relax. You ain't got to
become so braggadocious on shit anyway, because it, nothing that you get is for you. Like, you know, everything that you bless with is to help somebody else. Like, and I'm not opposed to everything that he did. Just in that one facet of his life, I just wish he would have took a little bit more time to be thoughtful of whom he going. It's like when we young, we don't realize if we go commit this robbery or shoot this nigga, we don't realize the pain that it's going to cause our families. Now your mama got a bit with you. Your grandmama might die while you're in there. Your brother's going to grow up without you. Your sister ain't protected. Like, you don't realize that.
Your kids need you. Like, right. I think, what was it? Lauryn Hill. She said, die for me, die for me. You said you die for me. But, like, she was like, why won't you live for me?
Why won't you live
for me? You get what I'm saying? It's like,
I swear I just thought of that line just the other day, bro.
Yo, it's because it's real. And, like, even now, like, my friends got to remind me sometimes. I'm not going to lie. I'm hitting shit.
That's
like,
why you need real friends.
Yeah, bro. I'll be in my mind and somebody make me upset. And they be like, bro, I know you want to do this, but you got to understand. You got more things to live for now. It's just like coming from the hood. Like, some people are stuck in a lifestyle or they're still stuck to they still tied to their environment, like that chain and the elephant. They're still tied to their environment that they don't know what they have to lose, and they might not have nothing to lose. But when you start to grow, you start to get friends, you start to get opportunities, you start to get more money, whatever the case may be, you have more things to lose. But because you came from that environment, guess what? You don't have the chain no more. You just got this small rope, but you don't know you think it's a chain. So we're still stuck to the mentality of our environment. So we're still acting as if we're there. And that be the biggest downfall of a lot of black men.
A lot of people want to stay there too, bro. Like cats be talking about, like, and just to tell you, that's one of my number one rules. I don't deal with people that don't got nothing to lose. Like, I can't go out with you. I can't do none of that shit. Because I don't know what you're going to do. You ain't got nothing to lose. But, as far as, I just lost my train of thought with that. What'd you just say before this?
We're talking about just...
Oh, we're talking about people still being there. A lot of cats always talk about, like, yeah, I got to go back to the hood and I got to go do this. Like, you'll go revisit, you'll go to ghetto-ass clubs and all this for what? It's like me, like, the way that I eat. And people talk about, oh, wait, well, come on, man, you can have a burger or something like this is your cheat day. A cheat day? This is a way of life. It ain't no such thing as no goddamn cheat day. So if I smoke crack cocaine and I got off of crack cocaine, oh, I've been doing so good for 3 years. Let me go hit a cup. Nah, man, what the fuck is you talking about? There are no cheat days. When you change your life, it's changed. It's done. I'm a whole different me. I'm baptized in this shit. I'm baptized through the fire, bro. You got to walk back through the fire, get burned again, just... So you can turn around and come back and visit? No, man. Fuck that.
Yo, speaking of that, when you guys said you did it for your kids, and I guess we supposed to been into this, but it's good.
Right, it's cool.
I feel like one of the hard, because I'm a father now as well. One of the hardest things about being a father or fatherhood is that understanding that no matter what you do, your child is going to make their own decisions. And it's like, man, we do all these things. Forget the people for a second. I'm going to just be selfish because we both fathers. Forget everybody else. You do all this so your children don't have to go through or follow the footsteps you did just to get to the end and see them make their own decision and can't be mad at it. Like, I think that's probably like the hardest thing to come to accept as a parent. It's like, man, no matter what I do for my child, at the end of the day, she's going to make her own decision, one. And two, sometimes the growth and the knowledge that we have come from us having to touch the stove ourselves.
And you can't cheat them out of that. You want to touch the stove for them, but you can't. It's better you accept that early. How old is your youngin?
My youngin, she won.
She won. Oh, shit. You ain't, and it's a girl, too. Oh, yeah. Brother.
I got a bonus, though, that she's 15. I met her at 8, but yeah, it's like...
Well, both of them is your kids, but yeah. But yes, man. You know, I think that it's not only... painful watching them do that. It's painful having to take a step back. You know what I'm saying? But not only does that give them room to grow, it's also growth for you. Because you listen, everybody want to be the good guy all the time. Sometimes it got to be tough love and it hurts you. Like, I don't like whooping my kids or no shit like that, but I know if I don't whoop their ass about this right here, then this could turn into some way. I need for this kid to listen to me. When I say, come on, I don't need him to be asking me questions like the kids do now. Well, I don't understand, like, why would I? No, I'm going to beat your ass, because if it's a damn lion on its way at you, I need you to react as soon as I say it. Mm. You dig what I'm saying? And that's hard. But nobody said this shit going to be easy, and it's valuable. Be strong, bro. Be strong with it. She gonna break your fucking heart way more than any woman that you ever had in your life or ever gonna have. But just be prepared for it, man.
I don't know. I could prepare for that. It's funny because I was just talking to somebody and I was like, shit, this shit. I ain't gonna lie. Because it's like, that's the first time. And again, I'm not trying to make a man versus woman thing, but I feel like as a man, people love for us is so contingent on what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't gonna lie, bro. Like, this shit crazy. Hold up. I feel like my daughter, bro, is the first time I ever, like, witnessed real love to the point where I almost wanted to apologize to everybody, even, like, my bonus daughter, right? Because, like, I met her at 8, and I was doing the best that I could. Like, I thought that I was being a real nigga. Like, that's my daughter. Like, I carry it like that. When I had a newborn, it showed me a love I never felt in my life, because this girl loves me for me. She can't talk. You know what I'm saying? She can't, like, she don't require me to do nothing. Like, yeah, I gotta feed her, but I never felt a love like that. So even when you were like, man, she's gonna break your heart more than any other woman, it's like, I can't even imagine that. I can't even fathom that. So I know that probably would hurt the worst.
But the reason why did I say that, and I feel the same way, bro. I only got one little girl. Mm. She's way older than yours is. But because when she does shit, she's never going to know exactly how much you love her.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So in your mind, it's going to be like, how could she do this when I love her this much? But she don't know. You see what I'm saying? And she got her own life to live, man. But you're going to be successful because you're introspective. Mm. And I see the young king in you. You dig what I'm saying? Like, other people, just like myself, they may see the flaws and stuff, but I see you got that spark in you. Most people worried about the smoke. I'm worried about the fire. And I see that you got that. So you're going to be all right, bro.
Nah, for sure.
You're
going to
be all right, man.
Toast to our little ones, man.
Man, that's big toast to them.
That's a different love. Man, I appreciate you again, man. For the people that don't know, they know, but tell them how to support the new endeavors that you got going on, follow you, all of that.
The AdventuresOfLife.com, RepetitionBrand.com. Of course, the new Must Be Nice to Reboot, that's all over. And we got a project coming out before Christmas, man.
Mm.
Other than that, brothers need to powwow more like this, man. So mm-hmm. I'm going to make sure that you got my math. If you got any questions about raising these kids, I may not be able to tell you what to do. I can tell your ass what not to do, though.
And the community is just, sometimes you just need the community. Sometimes, man, like, that'd be a big part of it. I learned that. Like, and it's just hard because, like, sometimes you got, like I said, it takes for you to touch the stove to understand that, damn, I need to grow some more. And, like, I don't know. Sometimes I say I'm an empath because, like, I don't be wanting my people to touch the stove, bro. It's like, man, I did it, man. I don't want you to have to go through that. Like, I know how hard it is, and I know what God gave me, how strong he made me. I can't say that about a lot of my peers. Mm. So it's like, I don't want people to go through what I went through. You know what I'm trying to say? Like, but they got to. They got to.
And that might be why that you having the success that you having right now. It's because when your heart is pure for something and you not, again, you know that there's more things of value besides money, then you have already been elevated spiritually, but now you're going to be elevated physically, and he can make you a ruler over people. Because if you show him that you can manage your own shit good, then now you can manage the affairs of other people. Hence your podcast, hence your success.
Nah, we gotta get out here, man. This is good, man. This is good, man. Life Jennings, everybody. Mr. J Hill, Life. J Hill Podcast is a wrap. We out.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? a woo-hoo-er, a hand clapper, a high-fiver. If you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. Choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.